We all look forward to seeing heaven some of these days. It is a blessing that the Lord has enabled us to assemble this morning at this place with his people, that we might worship him in spirit and in truth. We have a lot for which to be thankful. I want to thank you for praying for me while I was away this past week and on last Lord's Day. I believe your prayers made a difference, and I'm grateful that the Lord has watched over me and kept me safe and sound. I appreciate Brother Jerry Holman filling in for me on last week. I understand and expected that he did do a great job in his proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Southwestern Christian College lectureship, for me and for many others, was a positive and encouraging and enriching experience, and I'm grateful that I was enabled to attend this year's lectureship. We want to solicit your prayers on behalf of the Southwestern Christian College. They are facing some serious financial challenges, but through faith and commitment and dedication of Southwestern supporters, they are convinced that they'll be able to meet the challenges that they face and that they shall be able to overcome and continue sustaining Southwestern Christian College. The spirit is very positive and the spirit is very optimistic, but continue to pray for Southwestern, and we will continue to support Southwestern Christian College. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the scripture lesson that was read by Brother Solomon, Luke chapter 5. He read verses 1 through 11. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Based on this passage, I'd like to use as the specific title of our lesson this morning, "Let's Launch Out into the Deep." Let's launch out into the deep. God often demonstrates something on one level that he might lead us to think on a higher level. Sometimes a physical or material experience is encountered that is pointing us or leading us to a greater and more satisfying and meaningful spiritual experience. In the story before us, God is telling us that some things that happen to us in life on a physical level can also happen on a spiritual level. In our text today, he suggests that if we want to rid ourselves of failure, emptiness, and frustration, and the things that we are experiencing of a negative nature, that we are to launch out into the spiritual deep, our failures, our depressions, our frustrations are often but God's way of telling us that our lives are too shallow, that our goals are too low, that our focus is too narrow, and that our mission is too selfish. And that when we change our pattern of thinking, our pattern of speaking, our pattern of action, and our pattern of attitudes, we can be significantly different. Dr. Luke begins his narrative by giving us a view of a group of fishermen who are closing out their shift. The Bible says they were closing out their shift in a spirit of disappointment. Jesus, as he surveyed the crowd by the Lake Gennesareth, which is really the Sea of Galilee, the fishermen had gotten out of their boats and they were in the process of washing their nets. They were putting the fishing experience of that shift into the hands of history, and they were about to head apparently for the house for much needed rest and resuscitation. But Jesus had other plans. Jesus got into one of the boat belonging to Simon Peter, and he asked Peter to put out a little from the land. And Jesus sat down in Peter's boat and began teaching the people. We should never forget in this context and in our lives that God has a right to use anything that we have in the promotion of his cause on earth. For the psalmist said in the long ago Psalm 24 and verse 1, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." And verse number 2, "For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the flood." It was not an imposition for Jesus to use Peter's commercial fishing boat. Just a little while in order to teach his word. God is not asking too much of us when he asks us to use our possessions in his service. Because if it were not for his amazing generosity, we would have nothing at all, for all that we have has come to us from God. Seeing he gives to all life and breath and all things. So it's not asking too much of him to use that which he has already blessed us with. You know, sometimes we can become narrowly selfish in our outlook and act as if we are responsible for whatever God has blessed us with. We should always remember 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 20. "For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We belong to God, body and spirit. And everything else that we have, God has provided us with it. Whether it's your family, whether it's your health, whether it's your job, whether it's your home, your automobile, your wardrobe, whatever it is that you have, that you possess, what money you have, God has provided all of that for us. And if it were not for him, we would be completely bereft of possessions all together. Not only that, we would not even be able to live and to walk around, for in him we live and move and have our very being. Jesus, in essence, said to Peter, I'd like to have usage of your boat just for a little while. Now, there were several things that would serve to operate against Peter consenting to allow the Lord usage of his boat. Three things I want to just mention that would be in opposition to Peter consenting to allow the Lord to use his boat. One was they were washing their nets. They had finished their fishing for the night. They were ready to get some rest. They were busily involved in washing their nets. So it was inconvenient for Peter to allow the Lord the usage of his boat. Not only were they washing their nets, but they were also weary in body. They had toiled all night long, so they were tired. They had engaged in exhausting labor in fishing all night. They were weary in body. So that made it even more inconvenient for Peter to allow the Lord the usage of his boat. But Peter's commitment to the Lord and his faith in the Lord and his trust in the Lord overrode those particular problems. They were washing their nets. They were weary in body. But additionally, they were without any fish. They had nary a fish. They hadn't even a modicum of success. We've toiled all night long and caught nothing. Serious problems. But Peter did not allow those problems to prevent him from allowing the Lord the usage of his boat. Because if Peter had declined allowing the Lord to use his boat, just think of what a tremendous blessing he would have missed. Just think how different the outcome would have been. Peter would have gone home empty-handed, having nothing to show for all of his efforts. The Lord was granted permission by Peter to use his boat as a platform from which to teach his message. And when he had finished his lesson, he said to Simon, he said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Peter replied, as we've just indicated, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. We came up empty. We were just leaving when you joined us. But I will do as you say and let down the nets. That brings us to the first spiritual deep, the deep that is called obedience. It is a common thing for us to say that one must obey Christ if we would know Christ and if we would know God the Father. Some of us have heard this concept repeated so often that we do not hear it at all, and we discount the value and the importance of obedience. And yet there is no truth that is more important to our spiritual success and growth and development than wholehearted obedience to the Lord. We cannot overemphasize the importance of providing and rendering wholehearted obedience to God. We will toil all night, yes, even all of our lives, only to find, like Solomon of old, dismal failure and disappointing frustration. The announcement of man's, of the modern day society, is the same as that of the ancient cry of Peter. We have toiled all night and have caught nothing. How many people's lives are empty and bereft of success who have toiled all night and have caught nothing meaningful, whose lives are still empty and full of frustration and disappointment? You know, Jesus said, "What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Individuals can say, "We have toiled all night, Lord, but we are none the richer for our efforts. We have caught nothing. We have things, but life has no real meaning. We have gadgets that amuse us and mask our emptiness for a little while, but we really have caught nothing of significance, nothing of real value. We have entertainment that manipulates our moods, but when the effectiveness dries up, we are back to the realization that we have caught nothing. We have substances that distort reality, that make us feel rich when in reality we are poor, feel happy when inside we are sad, feel well adjusted when we recognize and those closest to us recognize that we are dysfunctional. There are things that make us feel powerful when we are weak, but when we come down to it, we are back to the reality that we have toiled all night and caught nothing. We have strategies that give us superficial psychological boosts that inflate our egos and give us a false sense of well-being. But late in the night, when silence has imprisoned sound and reality tips into the room, and we have time to really think and to examine our lives and make an inventory of our hearts, it dawns upon us that in reality we have toiled all night long and have caught nothing. Wholehearted obedience to God is necessary in life if it is to be whole and if it is to be rewarding. Wholehearted obedience to God is necessary. The Bible places great emphasis on obedience and the blessings that it brings us. We often refer to Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him." What many people, however, call obedience is simply selective self-direction. We will do God's will, we reason, if it is not too inconvenient. We will obey the Lord if obedience does not interfere with our other interests and pursuits, or if it will not cause us or require us to rearrange our schedules, we'll go ahead and be obedient. We will do God's will if it does not make us too unpopular, cause us to appear too strange in the eyes of our family and friends and our contemporaries. But that's not the kind of obedience that God requires. God requires the kind of obedience Abraham rendered when he made his long journey to Moriah to offer his only son Isaac as a sacrifice in Genesis 22. The kind of obedience that God requires is the kind that caused Matthew, when Jesus went by his tax office one day and encouraged him to go ahead and close up shop and to come follow him. God was teaching something about obedience when he told Peter and his disciples to put out into the deep. Peter obeyed the Lord, despite the fact that he was an experienced fisherman, along with his partners James and John and Zebedee, and they had toiled all night, and they had caught nothing. They were weary. They were without fish. But the Lord still said, launch out into the deep. Peter, going against his thinking, said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will do it. So he gave priority to the word of God. He says, we've toiled all night, we have not caught anything, but if you tell us to go back out, we will. And the only reason we are going back out is that you said for us to do it. I challenge each of us to be obedient to the Lord and to see what great things the Lord will do. Through obedience, God made Moses a great liberator. He made Joseph a great ruler. He made Daniel a trustee and interpreter. When we obey him, he brings redemption and raises us up to sit in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. When we launch out into the deep of obedience, we experience the kind of success that the Lord provides. Notice the blessing of obedience. Verse number 6. When they had done this, when they had launched out into the deep, when they had let down their nets in compliance with the command of the Lord, the Bible says in verse 6, when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckon unto their partners which were in the other ship that they should come and help them, and they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Not only do we need to launch out into the deep of obedience, but we need to also launch out into the deep of cooperation. When Peter went out into the deep and let down his nets, the Bible says they enclosed a great multitude, a great quantity of fish, such that their nets began to break. A problem came with that success, and in life, oftentimes, we experience success, but we also experience some problems with our success. I was looking at a program recently where a man and his wife who were living in a very poor area of town. They lived in a very modest house. He had a very modest income. His wife had a very modest income, but they won a house, brand new palatial house, worth about $750,000. And they said, last we can move out of our poor neighborhood, and like the Jeffersons of old, we are moving on up. They moved into that big house. They also won a car, Miata, and they won $25,000 cash. So they felt that they were tremendously blessed. And you know, they attributed all of that to a lucky squirrel. Yeah, they said because he's a photographer and he took pictures of squirrels, he was fascinated by squirrels. But he was not aware when he won that house that on his salary, with their level of income, they were not going to be able to maintain that house, paying the taxes on that house, paying the upkeep on that house, paying the utilities for that big house, and you know what? They had to give it up. Yeah, they had to sell that house and buy them a much more modest home. They had to sell that car, and I think he foolishly wasted the $25,000 that he had won. Oftentimes, with what we perceive to be success, there come attendant problems or accompanying problems as well. You know, some folks feel when they want children. I want some children, Lord. Please provide me with some children. Well, the Lord will provide you with some children oftentimes, but with those children come responsibilities. With those children come challenges. With those children come obligations. The same thing can be said with reference to blessings that are provided by God, even insofar as helping to grow the church and converting folk. The more folk you have, the more problems you'll have, the more challenges you'll have, the more work you have to do. But those are good problems. Those are good challenges. That's good work that you're required to do. Not only the Bible says that Peter launched out into the deep of obedience, but he also launched out into the deep of cooperation. When Peter went out into the deep and let down his nets, the Bible says they enclosed a great quantity of fish and their nets began to break. A problem came with that success. They had so many fish that their nets were breaking. Verse 7 says that they beckon or signal unto their partners, which were in the other boat, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships or boats so that they began to sink. Isn't that wonderful? We see basically three problems. We see initially the stress on the nets. Had so many fish, the nets began to come apart. Then you have, which was a display of wisdom, you have seeking help. A lot of times we need to seek help because of the stress that we are encountering. So they beckon to their partners seeking help. And their partners came, brought the other boat, and they offloaded some of the fish and put them in that boat. But they still had so many fish that both boats were about to sink. Isn't that a wonderful problem to have? But isn't it also wonderful that they had comrades, that they had partners nearby on whom they could call, who could cooperate with them, who could help them, who were more than willing to come and provide their assistance. With reference to the church of our Lord, nothing can take the place of positive cooperation, whether it's cooperation in Bible school, cooperation in visitation, cooperation in evangelism, cooperation in benevolence, cooperation in so many different ways. We need to perpetually launch out into the deep of cooperation. Both groups had put their trust in Jesus. Cooperation helps everybody. If you help somebody to fill their boat, there will be enough to fill your boat. When Jesus is involved, there's always enough to fill both boats. This is God's way of saying that Christians ought to cooperate with and help one another. God often demonstrates his power by blessing us with success, but we take full advantage of his blessings when we cooperate with one another. Brother Solomon mentioned the challenge that was issued by Brother Davis last week, insofar as all of us reaching out to a delinquent, reaching out to invite someone who is not a member, reaching out to endeavor to convert somebody else in 2014. And if all of us will take that challenge seriously, if all of us would take that commitment to heart and do what we can, you don't have to do a whole lot in order to achieve success. If all of us work together, if all of us cooperate with each other, if each one would reach one, if each one in this audience would reach one, then that would be a doubling of the attendance in this building today. The Bible says, and this is interesting, after the tremendous success, the great haul of fish, in verse number 8, Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Earlier, he had addressed Jesus in verse number 5 as Master, indicating one in authority. But now we see, after the success that he had achieved, the miracle that Jesus had performed, he said, "I am a sinful man, O Lord." He recognized that Jesus was more than just a master teacher, that Jesus was more than just an authority figure. He recognized that Jesus indeed was Lord, that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, that he was the anointed one. And he gave Jesus his proper place. He was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto him, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And I'm sure all those fish didn't go to waste, that they were taken care of by Zebedee and by the servants that worked with them. You know, Jesus wouldn't bless them with all of these fish and then just let them go to waste. They wouldn't just throw all of them back or dump all of them into the lake. I'm sure they were properly used because of the spirit and the principles of Jesus. Remember in John chapter 6, after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus said, "Take up the fragments that nothing be lost." And so we are convinced that good and proper use was made of all of those fish. That provided convincing proof that these men needed to follow Jesus. And as they had been fishers of fish, Jesus said, "I'm going to make you fishers of men." Launch out into the deep. Oftentimes, we get shallow results because we have shallow faith. We have shallow convictions. We have shallow commitments. We have shallow intentions, shallow efforts we put forth. We are shallow oftentimes in our giving. We are shallow in our praying. We are shallow in our Bible study. There's a book written by Michael Shank who tells about his conversion, and that book is entitled Muscle and a Shovel. And when I first used to see the cover of that particular book, and I saw the title of that book, Muscle and a Shovel, I wondered, you know, why is it called Muscle and a Shovel? As I began to read the book, then I came to understand why he called the book Muscle and a Shovel. And by the way, a number of folks, over 5,000, have been converted, have demanded baptism for the remission of their sins, simply because mainly they have read this book called Muscle and a Shovel. Michael Shank in this book tells about how he was taught and how he was subsequently, along with his wife, converted. A very fascinating book. People are buying it 10 and 20 and 50 and 100 at a time and giving them to family and to friends. But I hadn't told you yet why it's called Muscle and a Shovel. It's called Muscle and a Shovel because in order to really mine the Word of God and the numerous powerful truths it contains, and in order to understand God's Word clearly and God's Word meaningfully, it requires muscle, it requires work, and it requires digging deep into the Word of God. It requires real effort, because so many of us, our efforts are shallow. So many of us, our efforts are superficial. So many of us, our efforts are surface. But he's saying in order to dig down deep, it requires muscle and a shovel. And I think about that in terms of what Peter experienced. In order to experience the greatest amount or greatest level of success, Jesus said, you don't play around in the shallow water. You know, that's not where the fish are. Right. Jesus said, launch out into the deep and you'll get a great catch. The same thing is true with reference to God's Word. We need to dig down deep. Our efforts must not be shallow in order to achieve the success and to come to the understanding of God's Word on a deeper level. Do you want to launch out into the deep? Do you want to use a muscle and a shovel insofar as to dig down deep into the Word of God? I trust that you do. Are you willing to make a commitment to reach out to those who are delinquent, those who've fallen away? Are you willing to launch out into the deep of reaching them? Are you willing to launch out into the deep of reaching those who are lost and who have never obeyed the gospel of Christ? We talked about discipleship, sharing the gospel, evangelism in class this morning. Are you willing to put in the time and the effort? Are you willing to put in the hard work? Are you willing to dig deep in order that you can become an effective personal evangelist in sharing the gospel with others in such a way that you'll be able to convert souls? I trust that you will. I trust that you will have the commitment to launch out into the deep. Maybe you are here today, and maybe your faith is shallow. Maybe your commitment is shallow. Maybe your efforts to really live the Christian life and to be different from the world, maybe those efforts of yours are really shallow. Do you want to launch out into the deep? If you're here and you've fallen by the wayside, why not come back through repentance, confession, and prayer? If you're here and you're not yet a Christian, why not obey the gospel of Christ today through hearing the good news of how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and how he was buried and how he arose again the third day according to the scriptures? In Acts 15 and verse 7, when there had been much disputing, Peter arose and said, "Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, how that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the words of the gospel and believe." You've heard the good news of the gospel. Do you believe it? Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am he, then you shall die in your sins." I trust that that won't be the case with you. If you've heard the good news of the gospel and believe it, do you believe it enough that you're willing to repent of your sins, to turn away from the things you know to be wrong, and commit yourself to living for the Lord? If you are here and you're willing to do that, we're going to ask you to come, and we're going to ask you to make the sweetest confession on mortal tongue: "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Jesus said, "Whosoever will confess me before men, I'll confess him before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever will deny me before men, I'll deny him also before my Father, which is in heaven." Will you confess him today? And upon that confession of faith, we'll be delighted to immerse you in water for the remission of your sins. And you can arise from the waters of baptism to live a brand new life. You can embark upon a brand new life in Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Will you take the Lord at his word and make the commitment today to simply trust and obey? Will you do that as we together stand? And
just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bids me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, thou wilt